Gentlemen, and welcome
Blog
to
Talk Radio.
Your No Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are so pleased that you decided to stop by here and visit with us for 59 minutes, 59 more minutes that we are going to get to chat with you. And we invite you to call in on 347-838-9142. Press 1 and join our conversation. This evening, we are going to talk about energy poverty and our world. If you can just imagine awakening to complete darkness, you reach out for the light switch, you flip it on and nothing happens. You get up to go and retrieve your portable light and again, the flashlight does not come on, nothing happens. You look to your neighbor on the left and see only darkness, and then to the neighbor on your right, and the darkness again pierces your awareness, and you cannot even see in front of your face. Our guest this evening has faced that challenge again and again and again for many long and frightening hours waiting for light to come. But he did more than just wait. He decided to do something about it. Mr. Hezekiah, or Hezekias Dufera, is with us this evening to talk with us about energy poverty and the importance of that, of bringing light to the world. We know of the importance of bringing spiritual light, but right now we are talking about bringing physical light. We are talking about bringing energy, bringing the opportunity for people to connect, get hooked up, and to then hold on and do the things that we take for granted here on this side of the plane. We are so pleased that all three of these folks, hopefully, will be with us. Mr. Dufera, I've already mentioned, who is the inventor of this beautiful piece of machinery that will allow for people to be connected for hours and hours and hours and hours. Michael Smith is his protege and works with him, as does our dear friend Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa. And we are so pleased to welcome all of these folks, along with Miss Carrie Kelly, who is my proverbial sidekick, to the No Show. And let me just begin with you, Hez, if I may, and say good evening and welcome to the No Show, sir.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I would like to, and thank you for the introduction. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely.
My name is Hezekias Dufera. Just to give a little bit of background about me, I'm originally from Ethiopia. I was born and raised there. I came to the U.S. when I was 17. I finished high school here in the U.S. and I went to college to study electrical engineering, both my bachelor's and master's. I went to University of Maryland, College Park, and then I did my master's at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in New York. the reason that I embarked on this project with more personal at first. As I mentioned, I go back to Ethiopia to visit my family, and believe it or not, the only two people that are actually educated from my family are my father and my mother. So their siblings, my aunts and uncles, are all illiterate, and they live in the rural areas of Ethiopia. So when I went to visit my grandmother, that's when I noticed energy poverty. So people were living, essentially. There was no electricity, no running water. And that's when it dawned on me. And, you know, I was there for 3 days. And we know when we can't even charge our phones, how inconvenienced we get. You know, people can imagine, you know, when someone lives with no access to electricity, no access to water for all their lives, how they must feel. So what I did was I came back after my visit, and I actually wanted to buy something and send it to her. That was my original thought, but I couldn't really find anything that I liked in terms of reliability and performance. And given that this was exactly what I studied in college, and I've worked for large companies, General Electric, United Technologies, in different roles over the last 15 years, I decided that, you know, why not try to develop something for mm-hmm. that specific application? One thing I realized is one has to know the problem to be able to solve the problem. One of the biggest issues that we see in the world today, or, you know, why substandard products are developed for a solution, is because the problem is not thoroughly understood. So in early 2013, we decided with my friend Joe to actually develop the product. We started sketching it, designing it, and about 5 months later, we had a prototype. So I went back to Ethiopia and took it to rural areas and showed it to people. The response was just unbelievable. It was so overwhelming. Over 300 people showed up. They would not let us go. Mm-hmm. They said, sure. We want this. We want it right now.
Absolutely.
You know, I want five. I want one for my cousin, for my, you know,
sure.
sister. That's when we realized this is much bigger than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was just a, you know, we started it as a hobby. And then, you know, we saw the demand and the response that we got from people. So I came back and I actually started doing, you know, just a thorough study of, you know, how wide is this problem?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized in the world, there are 1.3 billion people that have no access to electricity, none.
Mm-hmm.
And 620 million of those people live in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So you can understand, and that's more than half the population of the continent does not have access to electricity.
Absolutely.
If you look
that's correct.
If you look at Ethiopia, specifically, it's 70% of the population doesn't have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start appreciating, you know, why poverty is, actually energy poverty is directly related to economic poverty,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, if you don't have the basic needs for education, to study, to have access to information via computers or mobile phones, then that lack of information actually is directly related to a lack of knowledge, and then that brings about lack of economic or development opportunities.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that I'm excited about relative to this program is not only is that the challenge overseas, but as we saw here during Hurricane Katrina and other catastrophes that we have had here, if we had had some source of power like you have developed, then many people would not have lost their lives. Many people would not have had to go for days and days and days without being able to do some things for themselves. So all over the world, there is this need, and especially in places like rural Ethiopia, because a number of my friends, I lived in Washington there with Diane in that space for 30-plus years, and so a number of my friends are from Ethiopia, and we would often talk about the challenges that are going on there. So that's one of the reasons that I wanted to do this program. Let me ask you this, sir. What I know that there are people who are like Bill Case is involved in some type of opportunity on one of your sheets of paper. As a matter of fact, I think the one that we sent out with that link, he is talking about energy poverty in various places as well. Has the world started looking at this challenge more so now than ever before?
And that's a very good question. I will try to address the U.S. challenges, and I'll go to the your recent question about, you know, what is the world mm-hmm. doing about it. You're absolutely right about you know, some of the challenges that we have in the U.S. I remember Katrina was one of the, you know, the major natural disasters that we've had in recent mm-hmm. years. And also mm-hmm. Sandy, I remember. I used to live in New York City when Sandy happened.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, I guess, you know, since I was affected by Sandy, that was firsthand, mm-hmm. showed people how dependent we are on access to energy. And what happened during Sandy was that people couldn't even use their generators because there was no mm-hmm.
No
gasoline.
No electrical source.
At the pumps.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So just to explain what we have developed, you know, so our system is essentially a solar-powered complete system that provides electricity in terms of lighting and to charge your devices, your tablet computers, mobile phones, and so on and so forth. So this mm-hmm. it essentially provides energy or power for essential needs. Right? Mm-hmm. When you're in an emergency, what you need is, you know, you need to be able to communicate with your loved ones, or if you're in an emergency, you need to be able to call, you know, emergency services. And mm-hmm. Lighting is very important for security. So that's what we focused on. And and you know, the same thing, similar in also you know, rural parts of developing countries. So mm-hmm. Although it was originally designed to be used for rural areas of developing countries, we've seen significant actually demand and interest here in the U.S. for the product. In addition to that, there is applications for emergency response, call it Red Cross. Mm-hmm. There is natural disaster, that's something that they could have in their, you know, possession and have it available for people. Outdoors activities. We all mm-hmm. go camping, barbecuing, so on and so forth. And we don't really expect to have a plug in the middle of the park. So for entertainment purposes and other reasons, this is perfect for that application.
I was wondering, is it, would this have the power even to power source a generator?
You know, well, this is a generator, right?
Yeah. Oh, it is a generator.
This is a solar
okay.
generator, right? So
okay.
it's a small
okay.
generator, essentially.
Okay.
So it generates okay. electricity from the sun. And,
okay.
You know, generators have diesel. We don't need the noise pollution, the environmental
yeah.
pollution, the fumes.
Right.
Basically, you eliminate all of that. All you have to do is just you know, put the solar panel against the sun, and that, you know, will collect the photovoltaic power from the sun and mm-hmm. will store it into the energy storage system. We'll call it the E-Hub.
Mm.
Once that energy is stored, it's available for use. So it's very simple.
Wow.
Requires no technical knowledge. It's like plugging your phone to charge it, basically. It's very,
sure.
It's as simple as that. Right.
Sure, sure.
So, and it also comes in a very portable bag that is a size of basically a toiletry bag. Very, very small, very lightweight,
wow.
but has, you know, lots of energy to power several devices.
What is the capacity of the unit, and how long how long can it last?
That's a very good question. So, with the unit, with the portable unit, we provide one light.
Mm-hmm.
It's an LED light. We develop the light ourselves. The light itself is actually one of the most efficient light bulbs you can find on the market right now. And so if you were to power that specific light, you can get 20 plus hours from a single charge. So once it's fully charged from the sun, you can get 20 hours of light from that.
Oh, that is awesome. I mean, that to think about the capacity of a unit like that to then generate that much energy for people to do the basic things for themselves until help arrives is just awesome. What has been the response from people in terms of supporting you in this effort to mass produce this unit?
We just started actually production of this unit last year, middle of last year, around June timeframe. And what we've done is we did limited production, and we're actually field testing it before we go off and do scaling it large scale. We want to make sure that, you know, we get feedback from our customers.
Mm-hmm.
So we have deployed it. We're collecting data just to make sure that any modifications are not required. So far, we've had excellent results. We have zero failures, no issues whatsoever. We've gotten some comments. People want longer wires because, you know, they have, like, bathroom that's not connected to the house, so they want to be able to light that.
Sure.
So we have been able to accommodate some of those changes. And now, this year, we're ready to do, scale up to a much larger volume. So that's what we're going to be doing this year. But there was, you had another question earlier that I didn't answer. What is the world doing about it?
Yeah.
I think then that's a really good question. One thing we've seen is, this problem has gotten some awareness. People may be familiar with an initiative that President Obama started a couple of years ago. I think it was maybe 2013, mid-2013. It's called the Power Africa Initiative.
Yeah, right.
So there is awareness of the problem, but in terms of practical steps that have been taken, it hasn't been much because, as you know, any initiative requires commitment in terms of financial commitment, capacity building commitment, technical commitment. Because some of the challenges in actually distributing and reaching these areas requires innovation on itself. Because we're trying to, the regular tools that we have to reach people, marketing, whether it's internet, television, radios, are not available in these areas. Because those are exactly the problems that we're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So it requires commitment and also innovation. How do we reach these people? So one of the things that we're doing in Ethiopia is what infrastructure exists today that actually reaches these people. And we're working with farmer cooperatives because they already have relationships with these people. They provide services to the farmers, and because, you know, 85% of the population are farmers, and the people that live in rural areas are the ones that don't have electricity. So I would say, you know, 95%+ of our customer base are farmers. So it made sense for us to forge these relationships with the farmer cooperatives, and that's exactly what we did. We showed them the product, they loved it, and they said, okay, let's take it to the next step, which is piloting it. And then what happens is, you know, so not everybody can afford it to buy it directly. So the cooperative, what they will do is they will finance it from the proceeds that they get from, you know, selling their farm products like coffee, sesame, whatever have you. So, so the world has done some, but we have a lot more to do because the only way we can eradicate poverty is actually to start by eliminating the information, the knowledge poverty. People won't be able to, you know, get educated if there is no access to power, access to information. So, you know, we believe that this is a basic necessity that needs to be resolved for a society to be productive and economically advanced.
Absolutely. And as we all know, the wheels of justice and R&D can turn ever so slowly at times. But I am convinced that if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
And as we get the word out, and as we ask the questions that need to be asked in terms of how is it that you will support us if we produce this, now that you see it, then we can respond to those R&D questions and move forward, because I hear you saying and I hear you feeling the pain for people, and one of the reasons that you're doing this is to help people to move forward from where it is they are, literally to come out of the darkness into the light. But cost affordability is always a challenge whenever it is that we're doing anything, especially initially and especially in a third world almost country, because it is the basis and the firmament is not there, and that's what you are also having to deal with. But let me not put words in your mouth. Let me ask you what it is that if I had a magic wand and I could wave my magic wand, and whatever it is that you need right now, Hezekias Dufera, for your energy poverty opportunity, What would that be? What would that look like?
It's a really good question. So, the way we look at it is we look at it as a development challenge. Right? So, energy poverty, as I said earlier, is a barrier to economic development. It's an economic, you know, it's a development challenge. So. Mm-hmm. And the way we look at how do we address this economic challenge. So some people, you know, we're not the first ones to try this.
Sure.
You know, prior to this, some people have tried it. There is a donor base, for instance, that provides these, you know, little lanterns to some of the regions in these developing countries. But our business model is a little bit different, you know, because, you know, when I left Ethiopia was a socialist country. I came to the U.S. You know, it's the land of opportunity. I came to this country with one luggage, and I have a company now that I'm starting, and, you know, we're potentially reaching either the continent of Africa, the U.S., all over the world. So, You know, this is, you know, this is the land of opportunity. This is the land of knowledge. And basically, what we're trying to do is to implement a more of a model, a business model type. Not, you know, we don't want to just give people stuff, because that we have seen repeatedly not to work. Because if you give somebody something for free, they're going to wait and going to want, you know, the next thing for free. So yeah, what we would like to do is actually people to invest in people. So what we do is we say we invest in people. If people are interested in being a part of this, eradicating this energy poverty, what we would like them to do is, one of the things that we are testing right now is we don't want to only eliminate the energy poverty issue. We want to actually create opportunities for people. As we know, mobile penetration around the world is very high right now. Everybody has mobile phone. Actually, Africa has leapfrogged the landline, and people have now mobile phones everywhere. I was in Ghana last month at a UN conference. I was presenting at an environmental UN Green Energy Fund conference, and I was informed that they had a 120% mobile penetration rate. That means people have more than one phone.
120%?
Yes.
Wow. That's awesome.
It might be higher than the U.S.
That's mind-boggling. I mean, that is really mind-boggling. 120%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on average, people have more than one phone. So, but the problem is they have to walk several, you know, hours to charge their phones because there is power problem. So that is, you know, we saw that as a great opportunity, and we were talking to microfinance institutions, and they said, "Well, we would love to finance this because people can make so much money from it. We don't have to worry about people not paying back the loan that we gave." So, you know, the project that we started as, you know, let's provide light to people, is actually turning into a micro business opportunity where people can actually earn money from it, so that you know, they can better their lives. So our system is portable in such a way that, you know, you can use it to charge mobile phones for a fee during the day, and then at night we'll take it home and you have light for your children, for your family, and so on and so forth. So well, what we would like people to do is invest in these micro businesses, so that, you know, you get return on investment, right? Because that's, you know, that's the capitalism, the model that we have here in the U.S. And we would like to do that in Africa, because that's what we think is sustainable. So we want to change the development model from, you know, giving people, you know, just money into, let's give them opportunity so that they can take this to the next level. They can better themselves. They can better their family. They can better the next generation. So that's how we're thinking about this.
And there's a phenomenal word that comes to mind as you are saying that, and that is ownership. Ownership. When we take ownership of a situation, a circumstance, an opportunity, then we have vested interest. And so what it sounds like to me is that you are wanting to solidify this opportunity, not only for a few people, but for generations of people to come, and that you too have vested interest because it is your history, and you are therefore helping others as well. Let me ask you to stand by just for a moment, if you will, please, sir, because I want to bring in Diane Wilson-Omachekwa, and I want to bring in Carrie Kelly as well, to get their feedback on what they have heard and or what they'd like to share. Diane, you brought this to me, so I know that you are vested and you are you care and are concerned about what's going on with this. Tell us what your perspective has been, both looking from the outside in and now working from the inside out.
Well, when I first got introduced to the product, I saw the potential. But since I actually been working with Mike Smith and Smith & Sons, we've actually bringing the product to from the international market to the national market, because in the national market, Smith & Sons is a utility company in D.C., a certified utility company in D.C., and what we wanted to do is see where we could bring it in the domestic market, and maybe once we bring it in the domestic market, it would give us funding to take it international, because the international market, to me, is a more expensive market. But in Washington, and then not only the domestic, but the government, the municipal domestic market. And one of our goals is to get it in the D.C. supply schedule and the federal supply schedule. And recently we met with the D.C. Police Department, and our goal was to get them to buy it for every police car, because, like Hid said, that when Sandy hit, the New York Police Department realized that people were out of power in some areas for over 300 hours. That's close to 2 weeks. And so that means that people can't charge their phones. They don't have lights and security. It's a security risk. And so we thought that it would be a great product for policemen to have to not only charge their phones, but when they're in the community, to charge community phones. There's a natural or a man-made or natural disaster. So we approached the D.C. Police Department. That's kind of that's our goal. But for them, that's kind of, you know, thinking way in the future. But one thing they did say to us, they said, well, you know, they basically not yet. But they said, it is a problem. They said when 9/11 hit in D.C., because we were right here at the Pentagon is near here. And so they were saying we were scrambling for energy. But they said, well, and they said that's a big goal, because we have to put it in budget and talk to people and get all these write-offs for it. But they did say we do have a mobile police force that patrols the Potomac River. And we are responsible for that. It's called the Marine Division. And he said every time our people on those boats, our officers on the boats, they have to come on shore to charge their phones or to charge their tablets. And so they were looking at us for that capacity. And then we met with some folk here in D.C. Talking them more about the product, and they were saying that when our troops in Afghanistan, when they're out there in the field, this is a DOD, Department of Defense contractor, when they're out there in the field, they have to charge phones and tablets and radios, and this would be a efficient, clean way, because you don't have the fumes of the generators. The people don't have to risk their lives trying to get, you know, big tanks of fuel in there, which is very dangerous to move tanks of fuel through enemy zones. This would be a clean, efficient, and safe way. So we are working in that area. So the domestic side. In the international side, when I looked at the problem, I used to be in pharmaceutical sales, and I called in a lot of physicians from all over the world. And one of the things I thought about, a country that's very close to us that people neglect is Haiti. And so I called a friend of mine who's also a physician that I actually sold 2 years ago about what I'm doing with his and his company. And he was very interested. And then I started researching Haiti. Haiti, only 12% of the people on the country, in the country, which is over 10 million people, have electricity. And then the electricity is only good for 4 to 5 hours a day. And some of the hotels is 10 hours. But most people, and then the other people that have it, like 1% or 2% of people that have it, they actually bootleg it or that's illegal. And so they have to depend on charcoal, candles, and kerosene for lighting. And because it's an island, so it's self-contained, they are cutting down so many trees to cook and for lighting that they are killing the environment. They are eroding the farmers' land by cutting down all the trees. So not only are they in an energy poverty, they're going to be in a natural poverty, and they, you know, they're already in Haiti in economic power. So one of the countries that I'm targeting for the E-Hub, his is Africa and Ethiopia and his country and Ghana, but I'm targeting Haiti as our international product. So the more I read about energy poverty, and coming from a woman's point of view, that when people wake up in the morning in Africa, in Haiti, in other parts of the world, and they don't have energy, when people wake up in the morning, and when the women wake up in the morning, they have to go out and find wood to cook, to heat the water for tea. They have to find water for the children to bathe. And when they come, and they have to find more wood for dinner or, you know, other meals. And then when the kids come home from night at night, the women are responsible for making sure there are candles, kerosene, so the kids do their homework. Because remember that it's dark. And so from a female point of view, now it's a mission. That's why, you know, I called you about this energy poverty, because I realized that the women in these poor countries, they are really struggling to make sure their family eat and make sure they have lighting. And I take it for granted that when I go in the bathroom, you know, there's light to, you know, my hair or whatever I do, or, you know, watch TV or charge my iPad and laptop and cell phones, and, you know, and every time we walk in the house, we cut on the light. But just think right now, in some parts of the world, everybody's in the dark and children are doing their homework with candle lights and flashlights and kerosene lamps. And so now it's not about, it's about serving. What do we do? And, you know, what do we do? And there's all kinds of organizations in the United States, especially here in D.C. We need to partner with an organization and use this as a product. It's just, I don't know if you ever heard of the Heifer product. It's a product called the Heifer Project, where you can buy a heifer or a cow, and then you give it to a family, and that cow changes their whole life, because now you got milk, you can sell the milk. You know, you can breed a cow, you got a cow. And so why not have an e-health project? So I've been contacting some of the local, national organizations, or international Haitian and other organizations here in the U.S., telling us, let our product be one of the premium products. We got good, safety, efficacy, you know, warranty. It's well-made. It's made in the U.S. And so use us as the product, like they have a project, and use it throughout the nation. So,
I like that.
So that's what,
good.
I met with the product. I'm very excited about it, and I thank God that his was brilliant enough to make something for his people, but also for the people of the world.
Well, it's almost impossible to do something for anyone and not do it for everyone. So that is why it is that you all are here on the No Show. Let me ask everybody to stand by for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate the fact that you decided to stop by here. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. This is the No Show. Every week we try to bring people to visit with us who are doing something to make a difference in the world. How are you showing up? What is it that you're doing? How is that working? Is it working? How do you know? And so, therefore, the No Show is about supporting those individuals and those corporations and organizations, whether they be one or many, that are about the business of helping somebody. We believe in spirituality. We believe that there is a spirit within each and every one of us. We don't care whether everybody believes it or not. We're going to try to help as many people as we can, because that is what it is that is ours to do. This evening we are visiting with Hezekias Dufera, and Mr. Dufera is the inventor. He brought this thing to life. It is his baby. He is excited about it. You can hear that in his conversation. You can also understand from whence he came that makes a difference. What we're talking about is energy poverty in our world in 2016, and how is it that we can, in fact, make a difference. We are pleased to be on the Renford Broadcast Radio Network. There are a plethora of phenomenal shows and programs just like this one. If you will just Google Renford Broadcast Network and look at all of the various things that you can be a part of, many of the shows go for a little bit longer than an hour. Our show, my show, The No Show, goes for an hour, 60 minutes. And in that 60 minutes, we give you information that then allows you to have potential power, because once we give it to you, then it is up to you to do something about it. And for that, we are grateful, because then we don't have to carry that on our backs. It's up to you as well as us to make something happen from it. Let me bring Mr. Dufera back into our conversation. And ask from the things that Diane had said, and from what I had said about you, that I just feel intuitively, are we on track?
Yes, we are.
Okay. That's always important, you know, and sometimes we forget to ask whether or not we are, in fact, sharing information that is applicable and that folks can use. I'd like to turn it back over to you, Hezekiah. I'm sorry, I just messed that one up.
That's okay.
Hezekiah. Yeah, I've been working on it. My friend Jerusalem finally taught me how to say. So finally, yeah. After 25 years, she taught me how to say her name. And so only within the next 6 months, I'm going to have yours down as well. But please finish sharing with us how it is that people can support your effort. What is it that you are wanting to do? Where do you go from here? What types of opportunities are availing themselves? You and I had talked a little bit before the program about Bill Gates now supporting an effort in Africa to bring some of this type of awareness to that area as well. But I see you doing something differently, where there is an investment from the people. Am I correct in that?
So, you know, our model is a little bit different. We want people to be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it by myself. Diane can't do it by herself. We want more people to be part of this solution. So what we would like to do is open it up and say, as Diane was saying earlier, invest in a family. In an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
These people are entrepreneurs. They're starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ladies that we're working with in Ethiopia, she started, charging mobile phones for like 20 cents each. And what happened was, as people are waiting to charge mobile phones, she started selling coffee. Now, that small mobile charging business turned into a mobile cafe.
Yeah, I love it.
People wanted to munch on stuff, so now she started selling like bread and cookies and stuff like that. So she has actually grown the business where she is the breadwinner for the family.
Wow.
This is precisely what we want to do. With
mm-hmm.
the product, we want to actually, we definitely want to, eliminate energy poverty, but also we want to create opportunities where people can actually earn income from it and get out of the, you know, the poverty rate, which is, you know,
mm-hmm.
people make $1.25 a day. So imagine, you know, with our device, you can charge up to 30 phones a day. So at 20 cents
wow.
each, you can get
yes.
up to $6.
That's right.
So
that's right.
So that is essentially four or five times the poverty rate. That's almost the amount of money that a person with a degree earns in that country. So what we're trying to do is leapfrog and actually create opportunities that will take people out of poverty. So we would like people to be part of this solution. You know,
mm-hmm.
it costs money to build the kiosk. We call it, you know,
mm-hmm.
the kiosk.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to outfit it with our device. And then after that,
mm-hmm.
it has no cost. No, there's no electricity bill. There's nothing.
It's self-sustaining.
All people have to do. Exactly. It's sustainable. You know, our product is designed to last more than 10 years. So, and the investment will pay for itself in 2 to 3 years. And that's,
mm-hmm.
that depends on the entrepreneur. If people are doing what this lady is doing, they could pay
mm-hmm.
for it in less than a year. So
yes,
we think that's a sustainable model, because that investment
mm-hmm.
is going to go a long way. 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
any, you know, the proceeds could build another one of these kiosks and so
mm-hmm.
on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is the No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and I want to bring Carrie Kelly in. And for those of you who have called in, if you would like to ask a question of our inventor, we are privileged and pleased to have the inventor of this product here with us this evening. And I thank Diane Wilson on Omuchekwa and Mike for having this opportunity to bring with us. But we want, if you have a question to ask, please press 1 on your phone. Otherwise, we'll let you just sit there and listen. But if you have a question to ask, please do so. We do have a question after Kelly comes and shares in whatever way she would like to share or ask whatever question she'd like to ask. We do have a question that has come from the emails, and so I will share that after Carrie. Carrie, please.
I am so excited about this product, this venture, and the mindset of having people be part of the solution. And what I would like to see is if there is a possibility of putting this together with some of the marginalized communities that are right here in America. We already have a situation where there's no jobs, there's no, there's an energy crisis, like with traditional ways to get energy into a home. And so to find a way to convert the energy from the traditional to this sustainable resource and create a program where people who have been marginalized from the educational and also different levels of the workforce could possibly be a contribution. Is there any of that built into this program or this process? For example, I'm legally blind, so I'm capable of doing a lot of things, but if I was part of a solution or a process where I'm training, I'm learning, and I'm training, I'm actually being a part of bringing sustainable energy, I would be a valuable asset.
Wow. Excellent
wow.
question. Please. Let me give him a chance to. Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry, Diane. Did you want to take that? You want to
take
that?
I can take some of
then,
it. Yeah, I can take it, and then
okay.
I'll give it to
okay.
him.
Right.
But one of the things that right. Mike Smith is the founder of Smith & Sons, and he's a Washingtonian, third-generation entrepreneur in D.C. One thing that his vision for when he met his and got introduced to the product, there's no zero manufacturing in Washington, D.C. And one of his visions for the E-Hub, that's the other mission for the E-Hub, is to get actually manufacturing plant in D.C. And when we looked at the 3 billion people, we're going to need more than one plant. And he's thinking that for urban areas around the country, once we get this model in D.C., it could be something that can be modeled not only for D.C., but for around the world, if we can manufacture it ourselves. Right now, his is using a contract manufacturer, and it's very expensive to start manufacturing anyway, but you have to have a vision. And so for Smith & Sons, the vision is to have we manufacture ourselves, we ship, we build, we ship it out around the world. And so so that's a vision. And so that might be, you know, and I know that a lot of people with disabilities, I'm also a disabled person, that we can train people, but that's a long way vision, but, you know, visions do come to fruition. So that's one of the things.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be long term, Diane. When we give it over to Spirit, then Spirit has a way of making things happen immediately. So that's what we're going to
exactly.
do. We're not going to put it out there that it has to be long-term. Ladies and gentlemen, we have about 10 minutes left, so I want to now go back to Mr. DuFerra and let him respond to both what Carrie said and what Diane said, and then to a person that typed this question in online. Please.
Okay. Do you want to tell me the question from online, or do you want to do that afterwards?
Let's deal with.
Okay.
Carrie was the one who talked
okay.
about
right.
being
sure.
being sight challenged. So
okay.
let's start with that one. Yes, sir. Please.
All right. So Carrie, thanks for your question. We welcome everyone to be part of this solution. As Diane suggested, our product is made right here in the U.S. Right now it's being designed in New Jersey, and it gets manufactured in Pennsylvania. One of the things that we're doing is, as Diane was saying, we're trying to create, bring this manufacturing to disaffected areas within the U.S., inner cities, where, people don't get the opportunity that majority or Americans get. The reason being that, we want to transfer knowledge and create opportunities for those people. So, I don't know specifically, what you will be interested in, but we can discuss further as to, specific areas where Mike is thinking about, like Diane said, the manufacturing facility mm-hmm. in D.C. If you guys have any other, suggestions, or we can further discuss it and see how we can make sure that, you're part of the solution.
Absolutely, that everybody is covered. And that's a great, great response. I want for you to know that I don't have any problems whatsoever, Mr. DuFerra, with your manufacturing plant being in New Jersey. My ex-wife is from New Jersey, so I don't have a problem with that. It's perfectly okay. And thank you for also addressing what Diane had to say. Here's our question that comes to us via email. It says, whenever a small person creates something, the big people come and they try to take it away. Are you concerned, or will you then turn, take the money and run. Okay, I apologize for some of our people, Mr. Hezzy, but you know, it's a legitimate question. So please, what is your response to, are you going to continue to try as your best to help little people to make businesses for themselves?
Yes, I think it's actually a very good question, which I've been debating about. If somebody came and said, hey, we'll give you this much money, you know,
right.
Why don't you
right.
just, you know, sell the company and fold it?
Right.
This is not just about making money for me and for the cause
okay.
of you know, we started
okay.
because, like I said, you know, I was lucky enough to get an opportunity to come to this country, get educated, and live the American dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but there are millions of people that didn't get that opportunity, and these people are like my cousins. Like these are not like, you know, far removed people. For me, it's just more than the product. You know, I started as a product, but now it's turning into actually creating opportunities and livelihoods for people. So if whoever comes in wants to be part of that, then more power, because we need more muscle and more support to get this thing out there faster and in a larger scale. But, you know, that's sort of our vision is to empower people, women,
mm-hmm.
you know, specifically, you know, women in developing countries are very disadvantaged because they don't have, they don't, you know, earn their own income. They depend on their husbands
yeah.
and so on and so
yeah.
forth. So,
absolutely.
That's what we're
Excellent.
Focused on.
Excellent. We have two folks that have additional questions. Let me bring in this gentleman, Mr. Benjamin, who has a question or a statement. Welcome to the No Show, Benjamin. Thank you so much for calling. Please share your question or your statement.
Thank you very much. And I happen to know the team. And one of the things that is just compelling about this whole solution is I kind of see it as a three-tier slogan, if you will. Energy security, you know, addressing sort of the energy deficit in many countries and also even in some cases in this state. And then workforce development, creating opportunities from a manufacturing perspective, from a franchising perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
Wealth creation, because one of the things you cannot
mm-hmm.
do is you cannot will a job, but you can will wealth and build, you know, sort of the systemic wealth within the community. And I love your earlier comment referencing the spirit. You're right. The spirit can, in fact, you know, transcend any of our sort of human approach to getting things done. So I think this technology hub is just going to be transformational. I often tell Mr. DeFerre that he's going to probably get the Nobel Peace Prize for innovation and just
absolutely.
For what he's been able to do. And I've been on the line sort of silent,
and I couldn't keep it
anymore. So I'm very happy.
That's
to
right. That's
knowing
that's right.
the team
well,
and hearing about this technology, and I look forward to supporting it going forward.
Yeah, well, you stay on the line, and we are so grateful that you called in. Thank you so much. So let me bring Karis in right here. She has a question to or a statement to make as well. Ms. Kay, how are you?
I'm great. Good evening, Mr. DeFerre.
Good evening.
Wonderful to hear what you're doing. And I wanted to know how we would participate in that partnership and where would we
okay.
get more information.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Please.
Very good question. So since, you know, we work directly with Diane, maybe
mm-hmm.
Diane, if you can provide your information
sure.
and then we can have
sure.
Further discussion
okay.
on this.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
And we welcome the participation and thank you for calling in.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. Diane,
okay.
we've got about 15 seconds. Go ahead and give it rather quickly.
Okay, my cell is 240-515-8551, and my email is dianeo@smithandsonsllc.com. So it's Diane240-515-8551. My email is dianeo@smithandsonsllc.com.
Excellent. I want to thank you all, everybody, everyone that was a part of this conversation this evening. None of us could have done it without all of us being here. We are appreciative that you will come back and be with us every Wednesday from 7 until 8 p.m. That's on Central Standard Time. Thank you so much, Mr. Dufera. Thank you, Diane. Thank you so much, Carrie Kelly. Thank you, Karis, and all of you. And Mr. Benjamin, thank you so much for coming in and not being able to sustain yourself being quiet. I love it when people do that. So listen, everybody, you all are able to go up and download this segment. You may pull it down and hear us again, hear the things that you thought you missed, and pull it down, call us, and we'll be happy to chat with you. Take care, everybody. This is Robert J.V. McMillan, The No Show, and we are out. Take care, everybody. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Robert.
It was a pleasure. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.